Hi, Dave.
All right, the recording's been started.
Okay, thank you, Laura. Okay, good evening, everyone. I wanted to thank you all for joining us on a fun leprechaun day. And for those of you that are not wearing green, still, thank you for participating. And I call the regular meeting of the Carroll Stream Board of Library Trustees of March 17th, 2021 to order at 7:04 p.m. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Trustee Jordan.
Here.
Trustee Larimer.
Here.
Trustee Lynch.
Here.
Trustee Olson.
Here.
Trustee Patel here. Trustee Gillum.
Here.
Trustee Shake.
Here. Okay. Let's see. Do we have anybody in attendance other than our regular folk?
There's no one here for public participation.
Okay, thank you so much. So let's just go around and introduce ourselves really quickly for those of our lucky patrons tuning in. I'll just go down my screen and I'll call you. And if you could just give your name and title, please. Laura.
Laura Hayes, Adult Services Manager.
Amy.
Amy Teske, excuse me, Youth Services Manager. And I'm sorry, I just have to say, today is my 7th anniversary of working here.
Yay! Mary.
Hello, Mary Clemens, Assistant Director.
Susan.
Susan Westgate, Library Director.
Jerry.
Jerry Kane, Manager of Circulation Services.
Thank you so much. The chair would entertain a motion to establish a consent agenda for the regular meeting of March 17th, 2021. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Anybody second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Nancy. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Trustee Jordan.
Here.
Trustee Larimer. Trustee Lynch.
Aye.
Trustee Olson.
Aye.
Trustee Patel. Aye. Trustee Gillum.
Aye.
Yeah.
Trustee Shake.
Aye. Would the secretary please read the items on tonight's agenda? Trustees are asked to voice a loud off if they do not want an item on the consent agenda.
Sorry, do I start with the recognition? Oh, we did that. Okay.
Approval of minutes, you start with.
Approval of minutes. Minutes of the regular board meeting of February 17, 2021. Monthly report of the treasurer. Accept the monthly financial statements of the treasurer for the period ending February 28, 2021. Board and committee reports. Report from the president. Report from the vice president. Board committee reports, committee chairs. Human Resources Committee, Facilities Committee, Finance Committee,
off.
EDI Committee.
And then
off.
New business. Recommendation regarding approval of fiscal year 2022 working budget.
Off.
Recommendation regarding approval of amendment of fiscal year 2021 working budget, CM&R budget line, library renovation project. Discussion cards for Kids Act. Disbursement. Off. Disbursements. Approval of disbursements of February 1st through the 28th, 2021, plus the addendum for the meeting of March 17, 2021. Report of the library director.
Off.
Monthly staff reports. Assistant director's report.
Off.
Adult services report, youth services report, Circulation Department report. Human Resources report. Marketing report.
Off.
Information Technology report. Unfinished Business None, Board Development, Trustee Forum Spring Workshops.
Off.
Board Member Reports, ILA Legislative Day.
Off.
ALA News Article, Libraries Gain Record Increases for IMLS, E-Rate and Federal Relief Plan.
All right. Thank you. All right, first item. Oh, let's see, hold on. Never mind. The chair would entertain a motion that the consent agenda for the regular meeting of March 17, 2021 be approved by an omnibus vote.
Nadia first. On the agenda.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Couldn't hear. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Have to put them that. On first.
Sorry, sorry. The chair okay. would entertain a motion to put those designated items on the consent agenda for this meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. Would the secretary please call the roll?
I'm sorry, who seconded it?
I did.
Nancy.
Thank you. Trustee Jordan.
Aye.
Trustee Larimer. Trustee Lynch.
Aye.
Trustee Olson.
Aye.
Trustee Patel. Aye. Trustee Gillum.
Aye.
Trustee Shake.
Aye. Sorry about that. Okay, the next, let's see. The chair would entertain a motion that the consent agenda, oh my God, of the regular meeting of March 17, 2021 be approved by an omnibus vote. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Trustee Gillum. Seconded by?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Lynch. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Trustee Jordan.
Aye.
Trustee Larimer.
Dave, we can't hear you.
Aye.
Trustee Lynch.
Aye.
Trustee Olson.
Aye.
Trustee Patel. Aye. Trustee Gillum.
Aye.
Trustee Shake.
Aye. Okay. I don't know. Is there some, do you guys hear some background or no? Or is that just mine?
A few moments ago, I was.
Okay.
What kind of background noise is it?
I think it was like either a TV or
kids, something. Yeah.
I have kids, so I apologize if it's mine.
All right, next one. First item up is 9.33, Finance Committee. Who called that one off?
I called it off. So I met with Susan before meeting just now, and I'll probably go over it a little bit more in the fiscal year working budget or the discussion point. But so we were just talking at one point, and I was just wondering what the, you know, now that we're doing the other amendment with the moving some of the expenses into the renovation, like that line item, I was just curious where we were with the overall total costs of the renovation. And so, you know, the budget was $5,425,000. And even with all of the different change orders and sort of the different, you know, some of the different things that we had to do throughout the course of the renovation, Susan forwarded this. So this is exactly it. $5,404,648. It's $20,352 under budget. So I think that is really great.
Okay, that's awesome. Really awesome.
Great. Very cool.
Very good.
Architect fees, construction management, and furniture. So I thought that was very impressive and a great sign of, you know, hard work, Susan and Mary and all the other managers and just everyone who, you know, stuck to the budget and you know, did whatever contingencies they could. So it's very impressive. That's all I had for my report on that.
Thanks for highlighting that, Trustee Lynch. That is amazing. So can you give me the figure again? The 20,000, what was the math?
Yeah, it's $20,352 under budget. So 2352.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything to add to that? No? Okay. We have no motion that we need to make on that. Okay. All right. Next up is 9.3.4, EDI committee.
Yeah, so I'd called it off, and so there's actually, I saw this in Erica Bray Parker, who used to be a teacher of mine at Glenbard North, and now she's a council person in Wheaton. She had posted about this, and there's going to be, we have EDI, you know, equity, diversity, inclusion. They have the letters switched around to DEI. But it's a conversation with Wheaton community leaders. And basically, I mean, like the Wheaton city manager, the chief of police, the executive director of the Wheaton library, superintendent of District 200, and a couple other like moderators from the different schools. So I thought it was interesting. I'm going to attend. I can, if everyone's interested, whoever is, I can send it out, or Susan can send out the link. But it's Tuesday the 23rd from 7 to 8, and it's on Zoom. So that, that was interesting. And then there's going to be the How to Be an Anti-Racist program. It's a book, and I found out, so the actual talk is March 30th, posted from our library, the Carroll Stream Library. But then they actually, you get a copy of the book for free too, which I thought was
You
get a darn book for it. You get to read it whenever you, so there's going to be a discussion on the 30th, and I thought that was very cool.
And it's a hardcover too, so it's like even better.
I thought that was cool. So that's all I had for that, for my part of that.
Great. I also called it off.
Yeah.
And briefly, okay. Want to give my report on the first meeting of the EDI committee, March 9th, 2021 at 6 p.m. We basically covered 4 points about working to get a clear understanding of what Robert's rule says about special committees and their work. Also covered the actual point we're addressing, and that is, would we, after putting together our data, would we in fact make a recommendation to the full board with regard to setting up an EDI committee? We read over some really great work that's been going on by the adult services and youth services, at least over the past year, and I think a little bit further back than that went. The committee decided that basically we'd be putting together information from our local libraries and schools, as well as ILA, ALA, and RAILS. And once we get that together, we'll be able to bring that back to the full Board of Trustees. We also had a chance to have some good discussion within that group. So I really appreciated the time everybody took to come to the meeting. And did I leave anything out, committee members? I don't know, Trustee Lynch, Trustee Shea?
I don't think so. I think that was a good summation. Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, I think it was a good talk and a good meeting. And like to see where it goes from here.
Okay, I can add, Trustee Shake sent a link to me with regard to an equity challenge that's going to be offered by the United Way of Illinois. That also could be sent out as a link to our trustee board. I believe you actually get a little challenge, weekly challenge that they send you. So it's kind of just expanding our general knowledge of EDI is my understanding. I didn't read it really closely, but that's my understanding. So that's about it for me.
Trustee Patel had her hand up.
Oh no, I was just clapping.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was a hand.
I just liked everything everyone was saying, so I apologize for the confusion. I apologize for the confusion. It was just a bravo.
Thank you. That's it for me then.
Thank you, Vice President Gill. I wanted to kind of mention that meeting as well. It was very positive first meeting, and got to hear some perspectives from Director Westgate and Adult Services, Laura Hayes, on some of the work a lot of the work that they're already doing, which is an extensive list. Susan, did we include that in the board's last month packet, that list of services, or no?
I don't know if I did or not, or did I send okay. it out to everybody?
I wonder if it was,
it to everybody.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not, I can't remember if all the trustees got that in the board packet or not, but it was just a very extensive list, and I'll be the first to admit it's not comprehensive since we've been on board. Like, they've been doing so much more over the years, but to be able to highlight, you know, and see it in front of you, it's definitely noteworthy. And then Director Westgate and Ms. Hayes went and gave their experience with some of the already training they're receiving. And I don't know, Director Westgate, if you want to briefly touch on that, like on what positive experiences you have had with your equity in action. Is it, I can't remember, was it actually equity in action? Yeah.
The entire management team went through a 3-week course. We still have some homework to do with it, called Equity in Action through Library Journal. And quite a few people were attended it. I think there was close to 1300 participants. And they broke us into smaller groups so that we could interact on a smaller basis. So we were in a group with about 60 other libraries, and it's a real variety of libraries, academic, school, public, all across the country. And so people were sharing, you know, what their kind of makeup is in each community. And the speakers, it's a large variety of speakers, from librarians to academics to authors, and speaking on various aspects of EDI. And it's just been really interesting. A lot of it's from a historical perspective, things that maybe me not being a person of color, I wasn't aware of, some of the things that have been put in place historically, like back, you know, probably, you know, in the early 1900s to things that happened in the 30s, things like that, that kind of really demonstrated why the impact that these different types of practices and legislations and, you know, kind of like, you know, some are dictated by government, some are just maybe just the way people treat other people, that have kind of created a situation where it was really showed the inequity that went on in the country. And in some cases, you know, there is still things still going on. You know, some of the things that really stood out to me was in Kansas City, they were putting in a new housing development, and they just restricted it that if you were African American or Jewish, you could not buy a home there. Also, another thing was that things historically looked like they were getting with all these different types of social programs that had been put in place by the government. And then as far as like education and unemployment and things like that. And then when there was a change in presidency, how a lot of those programs were eliminated, and then things slid back down to where they had been. So I hope, you know, I think our country is going to be going in the right direction now. So hopefully a lot of these types of things, restrictive practices, and just thought processes will, you know, be eliminated so that we can get back to a upward progression to equity in our country. So I found it very, very informative and very interesting and very thought provoking.
Laura, did you have anything else to add? I'm sorry. No? Okay. All right. And that, I believe the link for that meeting should be on our website, correct, Susan?
For
the EDI meeting that we had, or is that?
Oh yeah, it should be posted. Mm-hmm.
So if anybody is curious, you know, with the full shebang, you can by all means go and visit our link page for our public meetings. Mm-hmm. With that being said, if there are no other comments or discussion, we can move on to 10.1, recommendation regarding approval of fiscal year 2022 working budget.
I called that off. I have one really quick question, and it's on page 25 of our packet, and it's on the liability insurance fund. And I'm just curious, we went from $1,000 in fiscal year 21 to $20,000 in fiscal year 22. And I'm wondering why that huge jump, what that actually means.
You mean for the levy amount? The levy amount?
Yeah.
We had quite a surplus in the liability fund for a while because we had received, I don't know if it's like a dividend payout. Mary Clemens might know exactly the term for it. Because we were in an insurance pool and they dissolved this insurance pool.
Oh.
And so we were actually way over. So I still always just levied $1,000, but I was working on getting that fund down, and now we're kind of back down to where it should be. So now I'm levying kind of a normal amount for that.
Okay. Okay. It just kind of jumped out at me. So
yeah, I suppose I should have put that in the notes, but I didn't even think about it.
Okay, thank you.
No, thanks. I'm glad you brought that up because it is a definite change in that fund.
Good question. Anybody else?
So Susan and I actually met before the meeting just to go over the budget as finance chair. And honestly, some of the other major, the different barriers where there were large sort of differences between this year and last, there weren't a whole lot, but if you're on page one or page 22, like the top left page 22, but page one of the budget. So the salaries, it actually is less for the fiscal year draft 21-22 budget for both exempt and not exempt staff salaries. So part of that is the bonus, like there were, less was, spent on bonuses, and there's one less full-time employee, like one less full-time exempt employee. So there were savings from that. I know the difference were ComEd on the top of page two or page 23. They've been sort of having some difficulty billing lately. And I know I actually had this too, where like I didn't get billed for 3 months and they sent me a big bill. So mm-hmm. I know that's been sort of a difference. And there's a little bit of it's a little bit more for this year than it was for last. But I think that's just sort of, it's an over $3 million budget. So you just got to try to some guesswork involved. Equipment leasing. So it's line 5304. That's nice that, with this new printing setup that, or the consultant or whatever it is, you save $5,000 on that, with that sort of setup that for printing and all that. So I think that's pretty great. What was it? Susan, what was the other expenditures one again, the 5315?
5315. Oh, that went down because last year or this current year, we had repaid that settlement for the tax objection case.
That's right. Okay. So there was a 15,000 for that. That's on there anymore. Let's see. So the circulation of materials processing, so 5401 and 5403. I know, so the village IT consultant said that you wouldn't have to spend as much automation hardware, computer software. So there's some pretty significant savings in those two line items there. That's good. I know the 5,500, so the youth services and adult teen programs, it's a little bit of an increase because of the popularity of the binge boxes. Always a good thing, right? That spend a little more on that. And then let's see, I know ditto with the adult services and digital media, I think. Is that part of that as well, Susan?
The digital media is the hoopla.
Hoopla, that's right.
Yeah.
Increase in the hoopla. And then I think those are the only major ones. Yeah, those are the only major, the landscaping. So on page 5, which is page 26, so in the other capital expenditures, like towards the bottom of the page where it says landscape, I know there's going to be probably in the fall, like start of a design phase of what the pavers out front of the library, like how that's going to be approached, because you have those two trees that the roots are causing the pavers to go up a little bit. So eventually it might be something where trees are cut down or something, but just because it's causing, it could cause a safety issue if the roots keep sort of messing everything up. So but it's just, this is just the design part of it. So we've pretty much made the inside look real pretty, and now we're working on the outside of it now. That's the next step we got to do, right? So yeah, that's, I think that was the major, were there any other major differences, Susan, that we had to go over?
No, I think that was most of the stuff that we talked about.
Okay. Any other questions? So we should make a motion on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone wanna? Yeah, I make a motion that we approve the fiscal year 2022 working budget.
I second that.
Okay, thank you, Trustee Lynch, and seconded by Trustee Olson. The secretary, please call the roll.
Trustee Jordan.
Ed, you there?
Oh, don't you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, aye.
Trustee Lehrman.
Aye.
Trustee Lynch.
Aye.
Trustee Olson.
Aye.
Trustee Patel, aye. Trustee Gillum.
Aye.
Trustee Schick.
Aye. Okay. Next item up is 10.3, discussion regarding Cards for Kids Act. So at the end of, I think, last board meeting, we had talked about possibly, you know, just being a little bit educated on what this Cards for Kids Act is, and Susan so graciously included the actual, was it statute? Do they call it statute? Of Public Act 101-0632. And Susan included the relevant section pertaining to public libraries and how the act was passed on June 5th of just last year, 2020. And under section 4, and this is page 32 of the board packet, by the way, it states a non-resident in an unincorporated area in Illinois who is a student whose household falls at or below the U.S. Department of Agriculture's income eligibility guidelines is eligible to receive a library card. So I thought that's, you know, a really cool piece of legislation. And I asked Susan if we, in an email, I asked Susan if we had any residents that are taking advantage of this act. And I don't believe we have any currently, but maybe that'll change. And maybe there's just not enough information out there that families that do fall into unincorporated areas know that this is a service available to them. So maybe that's something we could look into to publicize this.
You know. I think what we'll do is, because for them to show that, they have to show the library proof that they're received the free lunch program. So I think it's something we can communicate with the schools that they can share that with their those students who qualify for that.
Absolutely.
I have a question. This is or Trustee Lerma. With the schools being in COVID lockdowns right now, they're not giving out free lunches. How is that going to work?
They actually, some of the schools are just, you know, that they'll arrange and have, they can come by and pick up the food and that. I think some schools have been doing that. I think District 93 has done some of that.
Okay.
Just like they did during the summer for the free lunch program in the summer, they just had a bus in the parking lot and people could drive up and get the food, the boxed lunches.
Okay.
And I don't know how it is at Cloverdale. I think Trustee Patel's kids go to Cloverdale, but I know at Heritage Lakes they have the lunch ladies or, you know, administration that sit outside the building, and they do have bagged lunches. So for those students that, you know, maybe they don't feel comfortable, I don't know, getting it, you know, given to them in class before they leave or whatever. So families can go and pick it up or drive by later. I know they, at our school, they hang out for at least like 30 minutes after the bell rings. So at least at those two schools in District 93, they are offering it.
Okay.
Cloverdale too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. Any other discussion on that item? All right, next item up is item 12, report of the library director.
Well, I've got a couple of things that I wanted to, first of all, the Cards for Kids Act, is that what, any idea of what the projected cost of something like that would be for us?
I don't think there wouldn't really be any cost for us. Okay. The only difference would be if people do not qualify, they have to pay for their card if they're unincorporated. That's the difference. So it would just be, we wouldn't receive revenues for that.
Okay. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. What was the other thing? Oh, I have, one of the things that I was looking at, of course, my forte is backup and recovery. One of the things that I was looking at is that, do we have any idea if we have any data inside the workstations themselves?
I guess if somebody saves something locally, but I don't think most people do.
Okay. That was the one thing that we found, that was a lot of people were doing that. And it came forward when this one company lost their building. All their backups were just fine and everything else, but 80% of their data was lost because all of the laptops gone. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
So that was just one thing. The second one is I also noticed that we have both our primary and secondary backups in the same area. So if we lose that area, we lose everything.
So, yeah, we're working on that.
Well, one of the things I was wondering about is whether or not we could actually try and back up to the city's servers.
We'll work with them on that. I know they are working with the county to do their backup with the county. And I think they were hoping to have us maybe also do that because of the fact that we are kind of still close to the village. Not that I think something could, you know, happen. Like, let's say a tornado came, wiped out the library and the village hall. So I think they'd like there to be a certain distance of miles. That's why we had been doing our backup in Bloomingdale. So we'll keep working with them on that, David, and try to get something in place, you know, within, you know, like 3 to 6 months.
Okay, that's more than acceptable. The last one that I had, which was interesting, was even with COVID, where the amount of resident cards that we have increased by 1.41% since last year at this time.
That is nice.
We are 45% of the population right now. That's all I have.
Thank you, Dave.
Anybody else? No? Okay. I asked for 13.1 to be called off, assistant director's report. I thought it was really cool that Mary mentioned that some of our, and I'm just reading from her report, some of our withdrawn world language books have been donated to agencies. And I think that's a wonderful way to recycle, reuse resources. And I know in the past, like withdrawn materials got donated to the Friends of the Library, and then they could, you know, give them out to our community, and, you know, that money would go back to the library. So it's, you know, it's just a nice recycling. And I was just wondering, has the library already thought of this, of perhaps even more as we, you know, weed our collection, reaching out to other agencies within Carroll Stream, like Outreach Community Center, or like, I don't know, PADS, homeless shelters, I mean, local jails. Is that an option?
I know we already do give stuff to Outreach Community Center. I don't think we've done anything with PADS. I don't know. I mean, the other staff, they might, I'm not sure of any other places that we donate to. Maybe Laura and Amy, do you maybe know of any others?
I can't think of any outreach. We regularly have interactions with them, and took over at least a bin worth of stuff to be able to be distributed as a organization, as when outreach was trying to get resource, you know, connect them to resources that were in the area. And a part of that was giving information about getting library cards. Okay. So they were encouraged about how many people actually did have the library cards. Because feedback we get about that, at least as far as using libraries, the being able to get over here is always an issue for a lot of them.
Okay.
And I think in the past, we've also donated some materials like to help stock the little free libraries that through the Water Reclamation Center. And I think some of our withdrawn materials have also gone to the summer lunch program.
Yep.
So we look for those avenues. You know, choice offerings always go to the Friends of the Library book sale because they support us. We want to support them. With the Sustainable Shelves program that we're doing now through Baker and Taylor, our vendor, that's a nice tangible return to the library. And it's nice to have that as an additional outlet while we don't have the Friends book sale going. The Friends book sale will resume once, you know, we have normal traffic in the building again. And, you know, we want people to stick around for a while and browse those materials.
Do we know where we're going to put that?
It's in the meeting room hallway.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's shelving. So as you pass the cafe, as you turn right to go to the meeting room, there's a little wall, the depth of a shelf. So it's not real obvious, but it's just a nice little nook there. So people, as they're going to and from programs, as they're waiting for their kids to get out of the programs, it's a nice browsing location.
You answered the question before I could get out of my mouth, so thank you.
Sure. We have signage for that already included in our signage that we, for Friends of the Library, or is that something you're going to do in-house?
It's signage that looks like the signage like above the spotlight collection.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, it's just like
awesome. That. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Next item up is 13.6 marketing report. I believe that was you, Trustee Larimer.
Yep. One of the things that I was looking at here is that we had a wonderful write-up in two little magazines that went statewide. And I was wondering if there was a way to basically tout that, because we are innovative. The articles were really good, and I thought that we could market that at all.
What things are you talking about?
Oh, the two magazines.
Okay. Well, I do know, I think Allison's put stuff about them. She had them on the Facebook and everything.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And I know that Trustee Geezer from the Village Trustee, he posted, I think, the ILA reporter one.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been trying to get it out there.
Cool.
And I think we as trustees also can, I know on my page, I have definitely been posting it. LinkedIn, that's another option for those of us that are using LinkedIn, you know. I gave some mad props to our staff, to all of our trustees, and to Frederick Quinn, because they actually made a video. Maybe Susan, you could send that video. About FQC, they highlighted our library first, that they were going to feature like a little, you know, little commercial of what all the good stuff they did at the ILA conference, some virtual conference. And so we were featured first, even before Addison Library, which, you know, so it wasn't alphabetical. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of stuff that we as trustees can do to kind of prop up our library and give mad props to the deserving people for making it possible and for our patrons to be proud of their public library.
I agree.
Yeah.
I brought it up. Thank you.
Well, thank you, David.
Uh-huh.
Anybody else on marketing? Okay. Next item is 15.1, Trustee Forum Spring Workshops. I think maybe that was me who called it off. Just an update. I know Susan had included this form with the trustee spring workshops coming up. One's already taken place, which was on March 13th. I'm not sure if anybody, Nancy, you were in that with me.
Right. Yeah, I signed up for all three of them, but.
Do you care to share your thoughts on that one?
It was, so they took focus three libraries and basically listened to what each of those, what they dealt with, shutting down for COVID and all that. And everybody was pretty similar, maybe a day or two either way, shutting down last year when we had to. The only thing I was kind of sad about was the title of the thing was 1 year on, where is your library and how do you prepare for a post-COVID world? And I really don't think we talk much about the post-COVID world. We're still kind of in the world. So I was a little disappointed in that, but overall it was very good. And the breakout rooms at the end were excellent. We had, our little group had a very good discussion. So it was well worth the 2 hour time.
I had the pleasure of attending that one also, and I will definitely second what Nancy said. So the speakers, one of them, Jeannie Hamilton, she is, I believe, director of Bloomington Public Library, and she kind of highlighted the services, you know, that they were propping up, you know, virtual services, ebook checkout limits, you know, they increased that, and then they talked about the silver lining, which I thought was really nice. I mean, the pandemic, it sucked. It sucked for everybody, you know, but there were some silver linings. And, you know, when they were forced to make it work, they did. And some really positive things came out of it, you know, like curbside pickup. A lot of libraries are seeing that patrons love it and they're going to keep doing that. And what I thought was really cool was that they had, like, some of the directors, another director, Kate Hall, she used to be the past president of Rails a few years ago. She actually had one of her trustees, I think her board president, came on and they talked about how they communicated, how the director and the trustees communicated during the pandemic, and how virtual meetings, even though they're not ideal, we're making it work, you know, and this might be something in the future that we may have to continue to deal with. So I thought it was really very beneficial, but yeah, I agree that post-COVID, they could have touched on that a little bit more, but you know, we don't know actually what's going to happen. So
that's true. You know, I will say in my breakout group, I did tell them about our binge box success, because there's a lot of people around town that are still talking about binge boxes. So
yeah.
The other folks on that breakout room were pretty interested in that. So kudos to you guys.
And do you think other libraries call it something else? Like, obviously we call it binge boxes, but do other libraries have something similar?
There was one, I forget which one it was, that had something similar. It didn't have the flashy name that a binge box has.
Yeah.
Which might be part of its popularity.
I've heard of grab bags instead of doing boxes. It's in a bag. That's the first one that comes to my mind.
Okay.
And what Kate Hall mentioned, they call their makerspace the collaboratory. I think that's so cool. I think it's like the coolest name ever. Mm-hmm. And she touted that a lot of, I mean, I'm super sad that, I'm a crafter. And so being able to get into that awesome, makerspace of ours is, I know a lot of our patrons are missing that area, but, calling a collaboratory, I think it's genius. but yeah, an itching desire to attend another workshop, you have April 17th and May 16th or May 15th. April 17th.
Susan, I just sent you an email. Sign me up for that April 17th one, please.
Oh, okay.
I believe Vice President Gillum is already signed up for that one. I'm signed up for that. And the title of the April 17th is Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, What Library Trustees Need to Know. And that's included in our packet. May 15th.
Page 64.
Yep. So thank you for including that in our board packet. Okay. Next item up is 16.1, ILA Legislative Day. Did anyone have an opportunity to attend that virtually? No? Okay, I attended that one also. Not as fun as the ones in person in Oak Brook, where we get a nice meal. But it was... it was nice. There was one part during the session which got a little touchy, and I texted, I remember, Trustee Lynch and Nancy about there were these two representatives that were going at it because they didn't like Governor Pritzker's response to COVID, and it got a little tense, and I was like, okay, and it was just a little bit of politics going on. So that was the only like feisty part of the legislative webinar. Susan included that in our packet also, the some of the initiatives that ILA is working on, funding libraries, obviously copyright, digital inclusion, and let's see what else, opposing unfunded mandates. So some of the representatives from our area that actually got up and spoke had a couple of minutes to speak were Seth Lewis, Sean Kasten, Bill Foster, Amy Grant, which is from, I think she's from Wheaton, Winfield area, Senator Cullerton, and that's it, really.
Yeah, it used to be nice to be able to sit at the table, and I know that Sean Jackson was at our table one time. Cullerton was at our table one time, in addition to the nice meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the last normal, one of the last normal things. It was mid last February or whatever they usually do.
Yeah. And they have that lobbyist that ILA has hired, Derek Bleda. So he's awesome. He knows his stuff. He goes to, he pushes for libraries 100%, and I think he's very effective every time we have a legislative update. Let's see. And then, one thing they did mention, which I thought was interesting, was that how libraries were not included in, the essential worker package for receiving the vaccine. And they did kind of highlight that, we're disappointed that libraries were not included in that. And that ILA, I did believe, write a letter to the Illinois Department of Public Health to include libraries in that. And I believe, Susan, you included some kind of email, right, to the Board of Trustees about that?
Well, yeah, I mailed a letter too to the county.
Yeah. So we can all do our part.
No response.
I know. Yeah. I'm still trying to get a vaccine too. So.
I did what I could.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have anything else to add to that? I think that's pretty much it. Going once, twice. Okay. The chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Oh. I'll second it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Trustee Lynch, and seconded by Trustee Larimer. Yep. All in favor?
No, we need to do a roll call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have to say that too. Hold on. The regular board meeting of the Board of Library Trustees of March 17, 2021 stands adjourned at 7:55 p.m.
Excellent.
Will the secretary please call the roll? I don't know if we need to do that or not.
Trustee Jordan.
Aye.
Trustee Larimer. Trustee Lynch.
Aye.
Trustee Olson.
Aye.
Trustee Patel, aye. Trustee Gillum?
Aye.
Trustee Schick?
Good luck to all the people at voting time in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right.